Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my travels to many places around this earth, I've met many a different person, all kinds of different individuals. And it's just like my father said to me prior to my going off to boot camp. He said, while you're in the Navy, you'll meet one of every type of person there is. Boy, was he right. I met thieves, psychotics. I met a murderer, a rapist, a mortician, and everything else in between. But I have also met people that neither feared God nor respected man. These people could care less about whether God existed. They didn't want to hear about some Jesus. No belief or understanding did they have about heaven or hell. And they could care less about how you feel, how their parents felt, their superiors. Nobody was more important to them but them. And that's just since I became a pastor. In today's epistle reading from St. Paul, he tells us, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He also said in his letter to the Romans that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. And so too, today we celebrate the Lord's Holy Meal, where your faith will become enriched, it'll be strengthened, and it will be preserved for this life and the next. As our theme states today, pray and don't lose heart, for you have now heard of the amazing Word of God, and you've been given your faith as a wonderful gift. And it provides you the courage. It gives you the wherewithal. It gives you everything to pray to our Lord, giving thanks for his blessings and to thank him for the blessings he's given to your family and to your friends. And that we can ask him for specific needs and rightful desires. No winning lottery numbers. But ask for things like, you know, food, housing, health for yourself and your family and your friends. And give us the strength, dear Lord, to serve you. You see, these capabilities are dwelling within each and every one of you right now. And so much more distinct than those who don't have any hope. Why, knowing what I do about my salvation, that makes me wonder, you know, really. How could someone believe that this is all there is? And when you die, there's nothing else. You know, that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die kind of thing. How poor a heart a person like that might be. How sad it is, really, that they may very well, it may be very well true for them that this is all there is. You don't want what's next. For Christ our Lord has said, he says, rejoice and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So you've met people like that, and I know you have. Maybe even within your own family you've seen people without hope. Maybe in your workplace. Maybe even here in this very church. there are those who doubt your faith, and they doubt your faith in Jesus Christ too. And perhaps they will ridicule and persecute you because of your faith. But you have to pray for them. I saw one church sign that said, "Pray for your enemies. It messes with their head." But don't lose heart. I've had people in church, though, that want to argue things totally contrary to the Word of God, only to back it up with some self-induced thought of what they really wanted to believe themselves, and that it was more correct than Holy Scripture. Seriously. I mean, how could you say what you believe is true when that which has survived and has been read by man since the beginning of time, breathed by God Himself, and as Jesus says, you are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. Let me put this another way. If you truly know for a fact that you're a sinner and in need of God's forgiveness through Christ, then your own ill-conceived understanding of how one gets into heaven, it must be wrong. It is only through the merit and belief of Jesus Christ does one enter into the kingdom of heaven. Period. In your hearing today, you have heard dire instructions from an apostle of the Lord, that which is truly good and befitting of you taking it to heart. He said, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Have you not read this scripture where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Remember that? This is where our hope, our joy, and all of our salvation has been promised. God's own word. Don't put the Lord to the test. You know what that means? It means what the Bible says is the truth. And we twist it. We stretch it. We cut parts out because, well, that's not really true for me. Yes, it is. But don't lose heart. He who has created you has indeed caused you to become an inheritor of all that is divine. He has laid before you the pathway into an eternity with Him, in the realm of heaven itself. By your baptism into death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been rescued from sin, death, and the devil. You have the forgiveness of all your sins. And you've got life everlasting. No fear of death nor hell ought you have, for you have been saved. It's a done deal. This salvation is yours, my friends. Christ's death on the cross was for all mankind. He died and rose again so that all people would see life and live abundantly in His kingdom. Therefore, it's become incumbent upon you to not just act according to the commands of God, but to obey your calling that He has given you. What is that call that He's given you? Sure, He's called you to be a father, a mother, a wife, a husband, a cousin. Called you to be a friend of your neighbor. But the most important calling that the Lord has given you, He said in the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." That is your commission. Each and every one of you has been commissioned to be an evangelist. That's what you do for those who don't know and those who refuse to believe. You tell them. You tell them. You share with them in a loving way all that God has done for you. You share the gospel of the Lord so that those who persecute you and have no hope, that they might gain faith, saving faith, and that they be given an understanding in what salvation is for them too. And that is atonement that has been won for them upon the cross of Christ, who in His name we praise God Almighty forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.